All right. Well, thank you to everyone online joining us today, and thank you for everyone here at the Mercos being here in our fellowship and this wonderful family that we have. Today we're going to look at God's revealed word. That's the title. We're going to look at how God revealed his word to his prophets who wrote the books of the Bible. Wow. So we're going to stick with the revelation that the writers of the Bible received. We'll start in two familiar areas. First, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. And in verse 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day of the dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The New English Translation says it this way, verse 20, "Above all, you do well if you recognize this. No prophecy of Scripture ever comes about by the prophet's own imagination. For no prophecy was ever born of human impulse. Rather, men carried along by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Very clear delineation there. This is a very familiar verse. I'll just read it because we've been there so many times. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and as we've seen many times, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction," all those things we love, you know, "for instruction in righteousness," which is the best of it all. So let's go to the Old Testament and take a look at some God and Moses. We'll go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We'll go to verse 16. And this is God appearing to and speaking to Moses. Exodus 3:16. God says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt." And verse 18, "And they shall hearken to thy voice." And then Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, we see this conversation continue. "And Moses answered and said, but behold, they won't believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." In verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand." In verse 5, "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared to thee." So God gave Moses a sign to show his people that he was with Moses, okay? Still in chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow to speak and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send." The International Standard Version translates Exodus 4:13 this way, "Please, Lord, send somebody else." Then, do you have that, Deb? Look at that.
Yes.
Send somebody else. Love it. Verse 14. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee, instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. The ISV has verse 16 this way. He is to speak to the people for you as your spokesman, and you are to act in the role of God for him. Okay? God's spirit was on Moses. God would put his words in Moses' mouth as Moses spoke. God would give Moses the utterance. Does that sound familiar? It's going to happen more and more here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. A little further along. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. And in verse 1, okay, here comes Miriam and Aaron. Numbers 12, 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Aaron and Miriam, Moses' own brother and sister, wanted to speak for God. We saw in Exodus that Aaron was already speaking God's words to the people given to him through Moses. Numbers 12, 3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. God called Aaron and Miriam in the pillar of the cloud. Come here, you two. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. The ISV has, the International Standard Version has verse 7 this way. But that's not how it is with my servant Moses, since he's been entrusted with my entire household. Verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? ISV once again, verse 8, I speak to him, Moses, audibly and in vision, not in mysteries. If he can gaze at the image of the Lord, why aren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How come you're not afraid to speak against Moses? How bad idea. Well, Miriam became leprous after for a while, and Aaron repented, begged Moses to pray that the sin would not be laid on them. Holy cow. God spoke to Moses audibly and in visions. Moses was very meek. His brother and sister vainly wanted to speak for God. God chose the biblical prophets to whom he gave revelation. People couldn't choose themselves to be God's prophet in the Old Testament. Now, we here in the age of grace in the New Testament can speak in tongues and speak prophecy through the manifestation of the Spirit. So it's different now than it was in the Old Testament. Okay? And let's look at Solomon. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings chapter 3, and we'll go to verse 5. First Kings 3:5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give me. Verse 7. And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And in verse 15, Solomon woke up, and behold, it was a dream. God revealed himself to Solomon in a dream. This is one of the ways God revealed himself to Old Testament writers. Now let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Back one book. No, four, a few books, sorry. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and a train filled the temple. Remember King Uzziah? We looked at him some time back. Isaiah's first cousin. How about that? Verse 2. This is God showing Isaiah a vision. Verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth was full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Verse 7, he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. It's one of the great statements in the Bible, I think. God showed Isaiah a vision. That's how he revealed himself to him. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord and answered, Here am I, send me. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. That one should be easy to find. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. In verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God chose Jeremiah to be his prophet even before he was born. He knew he was coming. Verse 6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. God would give Jeremiah the utterance, the words to speak. And now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 28. We'll see Jeremiah speaking God's word. Jeremiah 28, verse 3. Here's Hananiah. He is a false prophet, and he's speaking to the people in the temple with Jeremiah. And Hananiah says in verse 3, this is just after, not long after the Babylonians took Israel, took Judah and Jerusalem into captivity. So they're over there now, and there's still some people in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 28, verse 3, within 2 full years, 2 years, will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. Verse 11, and Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. But in verse 15, we see Jeremiah speak. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest people, this people to trust in a lie. Verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast caught rebellion against the Lord. And verse 17, so Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. So trust the Lord. Hananiah tried to appoint himself to be a prophet of God. That was a wrong path to take. Okay. And let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29. And we'll see what really happens here. Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter. This is Jeremiah writing a letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Verse 5, build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Verse 6, take ye wives, begat sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Take wives, multiply, have children. Okay, verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. The New English Translation in verse 7 says it this way. Work to see that the city where I sent you as exiles enjoys peace and prosperity. Pray to the Lord for it, for as it prospers, you will prosper. Okay? Then back to the King James in Jeremiah 29, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Like the false prophet Hananiah. Verse 10, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you, causing you to return to this place. So God, speaking through Jeremiah, told the captives to continue having families, to multiply so they would not fade away. God would bring them back to Jerusalem in 70 years, not in 2 years. Okay? One more chapter over, Jeremiah, verse 30. And in verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. So we're writing the Bible. We're writing God's word. God instructed his prophets to write his revealed words in book. And now let's go to Ezekiel. Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel, chapter 1, and verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly, directly, unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, Babylon, by the river Chabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and the brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also came also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. These visions go on through the end of chapter 1. It's just a fantastic reading. It's like reading the book of Revelation. It's similar in the way that God showed revelation, showed visions to Ezekiel as well as to John in the book of Revelation. Okay? In Ezekiel 1:3, we saw that the word of the Lord came expressly, directly unto Ezekiel. And now Ezekiel verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, or refuse to hear, for they are most rebellious. Verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Verse 9. And when I looked, behold, the hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book, or a scroll, was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. And then go to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, eat this scroll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. Verse 2, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So receive this scroll, digest it, assimilate it, make it part of your being. You know? Verse 4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Speak prophecy from God, God's word. So, just to summarize a few things here, the word of the Lord came to Hosea, Joel, Jonah, Micah, Zephaniah, and Zechariah. In Amos, Obadiah, Nahum, and Malachi, it was thus saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet. And then we'll look at one of these. Let's go to Habakkuk, chapter 2. And it's a few books after David. It goes Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Okay. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Got that there? Good. There you are, Joe. You're getting there, aren't you? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that ye may run that readeth it. The New English Translation translates verse 2 this way. The Lord responded, write down this message. Record it legibly on tablet, so the one who announces it may read it easily. Makes sense? Okay. Write it down. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. We'll go to Galatians chapter 1. Bruce Mahone made a little comment about Galatians. He said some people think it's a letter that was written for women because it was written to Galatians. Sorry. Last joke. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither received it of man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by or pertaining to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3. And in verse 3. How that by revelation he, God, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. A few books over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Paul's letters to the churches were not made up by him. They were truly the revealed words of God. Okay? And now let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1:1. Here we are. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. God gave John the words to write, sent, then signified by an angel in this particular passage. And in verse 10 of chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Verse 11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So God showed John this vision by revelation, and he told him to write down what he saw in a book. Okay? And Revelation 10, verse 8. We're going to have a deep deja vu here. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. So some of the same words from Ezekiel, it was in my mouth sweet as honey. They both ate the scroll. Eat thy word, receive it, digest it, assimilate it, make it part of your being. And then Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. Okay? We're writing the Bible. These prophets of God are writing the Bible. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So God gave these prophets revelation to write his word in these books so that it could be the word of God that we have with us today. Okay? We'll close with a little story here. Bruce Mahone teaches a class on his website, speakwordsofgrace.org. And the class is titled Introduction to Biblical Text. It's really an interesting class. He looks at languages in Palestine, Old Testament manuscripts, New Testament manuscripts, dates of English Bible translations, and a lot more. Bruce has a lot of classes on his website, and they're all really interesting. So, in the class, towards the end of it, he tells a story about Erasmus, E-R-A-S-M-U-S. Desiderius Erasmus lived from 1469 to 1536. He was a Dutch humanist scholar, considered one of the greatest thinkers of the Renaissance. A prolific writer who made full use of the printing press, he produced editions of classical authors, educational treatises, translations, dialogues, and letters. He was a contemporary and an admirer of Martin Luther, living around that same time. He was viewed as the greatest scholar of the Northern Renaissance by many, and he is seen as the first translator of the New Testament into English and Latin printed verses in about 1516. What a project that would be. Holy cow. Printed versions so that we could have the written, so that everybody could have the Bible, not just the, you know, the Catholic priest telling you what to think up there. Okay. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And Erasmus translated 1 John 5, verses 7 and 8 this way. For there are three that bear record. And then skips to verse 8, if you're looking at the King James. The second part of verse 8, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Well, some Vatican representatives got wind of this, and they came to visit Erasmus. And they said, hey, Erasmus, you're missing some words. After a record in verse 7, it should read, in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And then they insert this to be the first part of verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth. This is the Trinitarian formula. You know, they're coming from the Vatican, it's the Catholic Church. And Erasmus replied, I've studied all the Greek manuscripts, and none of them include these words. Erasmus wasn't really a theologian. He just wanted to accurately translate the New Testament based on the Greek manuscripts that he had studied. But the representatives replied that the Catholic Bible had these words. So they said, if we can show you a Greek manuscript that includes these words, will you include them in your translation? Well, apparently there was some arm twisting, and Erasmus ended up agreeing. So a few weeks later, these Vatican representatives brought back a manuscript, a Greek manuscript, that indeed includes these words. But Erasmus and other eyewitnesses noticed that the manuscript with these words added were written in ink that looked very fresh. And yet we have these words in King James and lots of other Bibles. So the point being, you know, God's words, not words of men. So I'll close in prayer. Thank you so much for your wonderful, immaculate word, God. Thank you that we can learn so much every time we open the book. Thank you for your revelation to your prophets to write these your words down, that we can have these with us always. And we thank you for all of these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.